A Hebrew name meaning adversary is one who represents the opposition force to God. This is Instant Inspiration, Dr. Herbert Albarda, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. A Hebrew name meaning adversary is one who represents opposition, the opposition force to God. Now, another term is the devil, Satan. Those all mean the opposition force to God. I often wondered about the devil and Satan and so forth. As I read in the Bible, and I read the stories about Jesus and so forth, and the stories about the opposition force to God, there was no opposition force to God. God has no opposition. No one is against God. They're against themselves, but they're not against God. They're against their own ways of doing things. Satan or the devil is supposed to be a fallen angel. And a fallen angel is one who had it good, in fact had it very good, and somehow blew it. But I would imagine if that angel went back to God, as the story might have it, and said, sorry, Dad, I blew it. Will you forgive me? And God would say to the angel, well, my son, there's nothing to forgive. You and I are one. We always were one. You just took a course that was limitation, and you sort of put yourself out of the race of goodness and enjoyment and happiness and abundance and health, right action, and, you know, all that good stuff. But God, aren't you angry with me for being against you? And God, if we can think of God as an outside force saying this here, or as a consciousness perhaps, why should I be angry with you? Why should I be angry with you for not accepting the good that is all about you, the wonders that lie all about you and are waiting for you to enjoy? Why should I be angry with you for not accepting something that was nice for you? I am not angry with myself or either. I merely think, is there another way I can approach this so that you can't miss the fact that this is good for you? It's something beautiful for you. Now, I say to myself, how would I go about that? And you say, God questions himself about how to do anything? Well, when we have recalcitrant beings in our world, people who don't know how to accept their good or don't know how to claim their good, that's a different story of how to go about it. 99 and 99 100% of the people claim their good and enjoy their good. It's only the few individuals who think that they're not worthy, think that they made a mistake, think that they don't deserve it, and they don't claim it. Now, I create everyone claiming their good. In fact, not only claiming it, but being their good. They are being wonderful, they're being fantastic, they're being glorious, they're being healthy, happy, hearty, wealthy, all that good stuff, you know. And that's the only way I create anything to be, because that's the way I am. Now, that some people might want to be the opposite to what I am is their permission. It does not exist. It is an illusion that has no reality to it. But if they want to play that game, they can play any game they want. You can pretend anything you want. You can pretend that things are not so that are so, and you can pretend that things are so that are not so. And that's perfectly okay. I have no objection about that. I am a good creator, and I create everyone doing whatever it is that pleases them and makes them happy. Now, what pleases you and makes you happy? Does it please you and make you happy to think about an opposition force to God? How strange that would be. How very strange that would be. You know, I keep harping back to the pharaohs and the Egyptians. And the most predominant color that the Egyptians knew was the sand color. The sand color was a goodly portion of the color. But it also had another color. It had another color called blue, which was the sky and the sea and all sorts of things like that. The rivers and the lakes, they were blue because they reflected the sky, of course. And they had no word for blue in their language. They had no word for blue because it was so prevalent and so present, they hadn't even had to think about it. It was never entering their mind, blue. Now you say, why would a culture, why would a people who were surrounded by the sky, who lived out of doors a great deal of the time, who had this arc of heaven over them at all times, basically, that was blue, because there were very few clouds, very few rain storms in the Egyptian part of Cairo and Egypt and the nations of that area there. Perhaps at one time they did have that, many, many thousands of years ago, hundreds of thousands of years ago, when that was a very fertile valley and was filled with growing trees and beautiful rainforests and things like that. But that's not been in the living history that we know about with the men who had been Pharaoh and who had people that they cared for. Now, therefore, why would the color blue not be used? Well, it's like our newspapers. Why is it the newspapers don't write about happy things? Why is it the newspapers don't write about all of the people who do nice things for one another, who love their neighbor like they love themselves? Why is it that the media doesn't get out there and tout all of the nice things that are going on in the world? Instead, they tout the naughty things that are going on in the world. Well, the obvious truth is they tout the things that are not usual. They tout the things that are not acceptable. They tout the things that only a few individuals do. Now, they make it sound as though the whole world is going to hell in a handbasket, you know. And that's a silly thing to say. However, that is what our media does, because that's what the people draw from the media. There are some sunshine medias. There are some medias that write only about happy times and lovely things that go on. I was going to say the church media, but that's not true. And this media does not progress because people don't buy it. People don't buy stories about what is their everyday fare in life, of the happy things that go on in their world. They buy about the strange things, about the unusual. And why would people want to buy things that are unusual, things that are not normal, things that are anti-social, anti-moral, anti-everything? You know, why would they do it? I was going to say a moment ago that some of our religious publications have beautiful things in there about the people there. And as I rummaged through them in my mind as I was speaking about that just now, I realized that that's not true either. The religious publications have all of the difficulties. They have all of the problems that are going on in the churches. They have all the problems of how the ministers can meet and reach the people instead of giving a message that the people want to hear. Now, what do the people want to hear? They want to hear a negative message. They want to hear a message about hellfire and damnation. And there was a lot of ministers who gave that out and did very well, and they were very successful ministers. Now, the ministers who teach the love of Jesus, the love of God, they're not too popular. And the reason they're not too popular is because there's not much exciting about that. You take some of the movies that we have been aware of recently, and some of the movies had deep metaphysical impacts to them. They have deep metaphysical stories and aspects to it of how our thoughts are things and so forth. But in the same light, they throw in so much imagination garbage that mislead everyone, because this is what people want to hear. People want to have a clash. They want to see, well, for instance, we were watching, what was the name of that movie there last night, the other night?
What Dreams May Come.
What Dreams May Come, yeah. And Robin Williams was in that. Well, now, in there, he died, in a very tragic accident as he was getting out of his car in a tunnel to help other people. And it showed this car that shot up into the air and then came sailing to where he was and landed on top of him and, of course, killed him. And they wanted to make that so dramatic. And then, of course, he would have flashbacks in his death memory of that. Here he was no longer around, and he was having flashbacks of that happening to him, and he wasn't even in the body. And then they had other flashbacks of other activities and other sadnesses and other unhappinesses, and they spent so much time on that. There, you might say that is what people wanted to see. Well, is it what people want to see, or is it what we train people to want to see it? When you drive by an accident, does everyone want to rubberneck and look over and see what's going on? Well, why? Because we're supposed to help our neighbor, and we think perhaps we could stop and be helpful. And do we want to see the gory mess or the bloody bodies and things like that? And of course, the answer is yes. And this is part of what we do, because this is the opposition to God, the opposition force to God. All of those things which are contrary to our highest good. Now, how can we let go of that for ourselves, at least? We don't control anybody else in the world. But how can we let go for ourselves of these tendencies to be a rubbernecker at an accident, you know, to look and see what's going on, or to create ourselves seeing violent movies? How can we change that? Well, by a very simple statement. We say, I am surrounded by my pure white light of love, and I create myself aware of the most beautiful, uplifting movies anyone could ever want to see. The most beautiful stories. They don't have to be biblical. They don't have to be Pollyanna, but they're just uplifting, beautiful stories of people being godly in every wonderful sense of the word. They're sensitive and caring and wonderful people. Now, where do we find such movies? Well, like I tell young people who come to me and say, how am I going to find a girlfriend? How am I going to find a boyfriend? I have to go in the bar and find them, or I have to go to church to find them. I have to go to dances to find them. I have to go here and there to find them. And I say, hey, look, if you really feel that there's somebody out there in that world who is very special for just you, and that when you meet them, the sirens will go and the lightning will thunder and so forth, you will find them. What's that?
The bells in the head.
The bells in the head will go ringing, yeah, and the bells will certainly go ringing. Now, how do you find that? How do you find that type of a relationship? Well, first, you have to be a very beautiful person yourself, because you cannot create another very beautiful person in your life unless you are. Now, the movie that showed the man and woman getting married and having a couple of beautiful children, and the children quite normal. And the woman had certain problems. And her problems were that in some instances her art came before her children. Her business life came before her family. And she wasn't always available to them, and she wasn't always available to her husband. And, of course, when she lost the children, and later her husband, she felt as though she had been the worst person on the face of the earth, because she wasn't with them during the time that she could have been. But no, her art was more important to her than her family. And, of course, c'est la vie. Now, he too felt great remorse when the two children died. He too felt great anxiety about it. But he went on with his life, knowing that that's what you have to do. Being a medical doctor probably gave him an insight into that. But, you see, she felt so miserable. She felt so miserable. And it showed her feeling miserable and showed her creating the anxiety and the unhappiness that she was to subsequently experience. Now, why couldn't it have been the other way around? Showing her caring about her children, being with them when they were growing up, and being with them far more than she was. Of course, she was with her children far more than a lot of people are, but that's not the point. She was not with them enough for them to, for her to feel happy about that. So, the movie could well have been directed to having a happy family life, getting along well together, to emphasize the times that they did get along well together. The children loved their parents, and they couldn't have loved their parents if they didn't know them. And so obviously they knew them, and they perhaps didn't have them as much as they'd like, but their parents were busy people with their lives too. So the movie could have been written from a beautiful point of view, but it could only be written from a beautiful point of view if a beautiful person is writing the movie, or if you are writing the movie and you are saying what you would like to see, then you will create yourself going to movies that embody the healthful attitudes you wish. And if you want to find a girl or a boy that you want as your marriage partner, then you become that beautiful being that you would like them to be. And as you live your life according to how magnificent you are, without ever looking for a partner, that partner will just be there one day, and not too distant future. And that partner will just be there ready to say, "Hey, I like you," you know? And you'll say, "Oh," you know, and you'll get friendly, and before you know it, you'll have a relationship. But that's the way it works. You don't have to go to bars. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to go to dances. You don't have to go anywhere. If you wish, you can. But do a little bit of homework. Do a little bit of homework at home and put your mind in harmony with your dream and your desire. Because there cannot be an opposition force to God. What is it Jesus said when the Hebrews name meaning adversary is one who represents an opposition force to God? What did Jesus say about our adversary?
Agree with your adversary quickly.
He said, agree with your adversary quickly. Not any way, other way, but zong, right away. And what happens? Your adversary instantly is defused and instantly is no longer an adversary, instantly is no longer an opposition, but is one with you and interested in being someone to bless you and lift your life. You see, we do have power. We do have control. We do have the ability to do anything we want and create any kind of lifestyle we want. And we are, in fact, creating the very lifestyle that we feel we deserve. And when we change what we feel we deserve, we'll create a lifestyle comparative with that. Now, how soon are we going to make the change? Well, first, you have to think, I don't like the lifestyle I have now. I would like to have a lifestyle that is a little more harmonious. Okay? Once you think that, then you start putting in negative thoughts about it. No. You put positive thoughts in there. It would seem like you put negative thoughts in there because that's what people put in there so often. But no, you say, all is in divine order. All is in divine order. I've talked with so many people who had great, cataclysmic problems, and my only statement to them was, release it. All is in divine order. All is in divine order. And then I threw another little cliche at them that really made them feel happy. This too shall pass. Thanks a lot. Right now, while it's not passing, it's not pleasant. But this too shall pass, because that all goes away. But we want to spend our time being positive, being loving, being joyful, being representative of what it is that we believe, representative of what it is that we love and how we look at the world and see it as a super, super place. So today, join with me in agreeing with your adversary quickly, and all opposition ceases, and you become the ideal being enjoying life to its fullest, right now and always. I love you, I love you, I love you.